Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of a brand new podcast entitled How to Be Sound, because quite frankly, it's something I'm still trying to figure out. My name is Rosemary McCabe. I am a journalist slash, I was for a time a blogger slash social influencer. Let's not talk about that. And I'm now a personal trainer, but I'm still doing a little bit of writing and obviously now I'm podcasting. On the show today, I have Kira Norton, who I have written here is an avid cyclist, although not right now, which we'll talk about later, an environmental enthusiast and a soon-to-be tiger mom.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Hi, Kira.
Hi,
how are you? In How to Be Sound, I really wanted to chat to essentially people I like talking to and have an excuse to sit down kind of twice a month and have a chat, but also people that I think are smart and have interesting things to say about a variety of different topics. The reason I wanted you to come on,
is
to talk about a topic that I think is very important, but also really hard to make sexy. It's really hard to come up with a modern day issue that is more pressing than the environment, or like what we're doing to it and what's going to happen. So I follow a woman, Rebecca Flynn, on Instagram. I think you follow her as well. She used to do the Body Positive Ireland Facebook and Instagram accounts. And she's very interesting. She's very smart. And she was talking one day about how her son, who's two, said to her something like, I would love to go and see the polar bears. And she said, oh, well, maybe we'll do that one day. And her husband said, well, no, because they'll be gone by the time he's grown up. And that they both had this very like, oh, God. And she was going, you know, like, he's right. Like, we're totally ruining the planet. And it was this moment where I kind of went, Jesus, that's really scary. But at the same time, why am I not buying all my clothes from sustainable fashion shop? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Why is the fact that the polar bears may be extinct in 10 years, why is that not compelling us
to completely change our behaviour?
Or the fact that, like, you know, when there was that fire in North County Dublin 2 days ago, the air quality levels in the city were kind of stay indoors. Yeah, I downloaded it. It's called Breezometer. It's an app that you can check your air quality.
Oh my God, you're very serious about the environment. Look at this.
That's just something that, like, why is that not enough
to
turn everyone into an environmentalist?
You're having a baby. That's very bad for the environment. How are you going to offset those carbon emissions?
So I kind of want to preface everything I say with saying that I am no way an expert. I have no study background in the environment. I work for an environmental charity now and I'm picking up a lot of my knowledge over the past couple of years. And I read a lot and I see a lot of kind of the environment side of social media. So just, I'm not an expert.
No, but I mean,
like, but I care and I'm trying to change my own behavior around that. But I'm in no way perfect. I'm having a baby and
a big carbon emitting baby
with levels of waste,
a really
and
big baby.
Plastic and all kinds of things.
My dog literally just like nosed her way into the room there. She's like, what are you guys doing? I want to come in.
So like, babies need a lot of stuff, or so you think. And I'm currently trying to kind of bridge that with, you know, my habit of every time I go and visit my parents in Mullingar, going to TK Maxx there and picking up something that just looks really cute or, you know, useful in some way in the baby section. There was a Lund University, I think it's Canadian University, and created this infographic and a study based on the things that we can do to mitigate climate change and the most effective individual actions. So while you would think that like recycling or, you know, the light bulbs that you use, and these are all like huge contributors, they're not really. So the three top things you can do are live car free, which
I do.
You do. Yes. Eat a plant-based diet.
I don't.
Yes. And have one less child than you'd planned on having. So They're the three.
That's a bit vague though, isn't it? Because you could be like, well, I did plan on having seven, but then I only had six, so I'm doing really well.
Well, this is it. But because like the more humans there are on the planet, the more drain there is on the resources of the planet. And especially in countries like Ireland or more, I suppose, I was trying to figure out actually what the current term for developed countries is. I don't think it's, I was going to say the global north, but it isn't anymore.
So hard to keep up.
Yeah, it actually is.
I had to explain to somebody yesterday that we're not allowed to say Indians anymore. For like, as in Native Americans. And they were like, what do you mean? Like Indians. And I was like, no, you, like, I was like, they're Native Americans. They're like, what do you mean? I was like, you can't say Indians except if somebody's from India. It was the most ridiculous conversation, but I felt very woke.
Yeah.
Like, well, I know.
I mean, you think that would be something that people would know by now.
I know. And I was like, and if they're from Canada, some of them are called First Nations.
First Nations, yeah.
That didn't, that wasn't catching on at all.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't. But having a baby, so my kind of, my thoughts on the baby thing are, I will try to breastfeed and like negate the need for formula for the first couple of months. That's all. That's if that goes well. If it doesn't, I'm going to have to use formula and that's just going to be how it is. And then I'm going to use cloth nappies, which has been one of the more controversial things I've been saying to like the older generations in my life, who I think remember a time when maybe their mothers or their friends used cloth nappies and there was a lot involved in it. There was a lot of soaking. And
My mom used cloth nappies when she had my sister, who's like 7 years older than I am. And when I told her that you were planning on using cloth nappies, her first reaction was like, ugh. And she was like, well, I suppose we all did it. But I wonder, I don't know why I said that in like my mom's on English. I suppose we all did it. I wonder if it's almost because she remembers it being difficult and it's like, oh God, I wouldn't wish that on. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think that's it. I think that there may have been a service in Dublin, but I think for anyone, and that's if you had the money, I suppose, to use a service that would bring you your cloth and nappies.
And clean them up.
Oh. Yeah, there are services like that in New York has one that I know of anyway.
Oh my God, you could set one up. You could become a mompreneur.
This is it. I actually hate that word.
It's such a lie.
The cloth nappy thing, like it's, there's first of all, there's huge support groups in the country. I'm going to be borrowing from the cloth nappy library. So if you're someone who's pregnant or has a baby and would like to switch to cloth nappies, that's been a resource that I've used and booked a trial pack through.
Wow.
I think you can find them
clothnappylibrary.ie
or something.
I wonder what the crossover between vegans and cloth nappy users is. It's pretty high.
I'd say so. But then again, like just from being in the Facebook group, not being a contributor, just a lurker, I think it's just like people who recognize that essentially in the lifetime of your child using nappies, could be open to debate, but apparently you amass a car's weight worth of nappies. Also, that's your nappies fault. Take about between, from what I've read, between 40 to 60 years to decompose in a landfill. So my nappies are somewhere. They're in a landfill somewhere. If you think about it like that. And your nappies, if your mum had stopped using cloth, are somewhere.
I've never done
that. And I just find that thought to be,
it's so gross.
So bad. Now, there are compostable options, but they're only, like, they're compostable in, you know, your compost bin that the waste company take away, not in your garden compost.
Oh, and so are you going to do that? Do you have a compost bin?
I do, yeah. And I think that they'll be ones that I get for the days where maybe cloth nappies and working out, or if I'm giving the baby to somebody to mind. It's not going to be something that I force on.
Yeah, like the, you're not going to get the 17-year-old babysitter next door to come over and be like, now here, I'll say I have to use the cloth nappies.
I mean, they seem really easy and there's so many different systems, but yeah, that's, I mean, and then I suppose when it comes to having kids, kind of trying not to become too reliant on my car in the place where I haven't been reliant on it before, and then just cutting down on stuff and reusing and trying not to buy the things that I'm told that you need.
Yeah, well, that is the thing, isn't it? That I think people get into a panic. I suppose, like, we get into a panic when we're doing anything new. So say if you're like, here's my point of reference for everything. Say if you're joining a gym for the first time, we all get caught up in, like, what kind of runners do we need? What this do we need? What that do we need? Whereas, in fact, like, to have a baby, to move your body, to cook food, you know, all of these things that are very natural and very normal and very everyday, we don't actually need half as many things as we think we need.
Yeah.
And also, like, things like breastfeeding. Like my mom is a very avid kind of breastfeeding advocate, but, you know, insofar as within her own circle of friends, because she's not on social media and things, it's not like she's campaigning for it. Mm. But she always says that the best thing for her about breastfeeding is that you don't need anything. You know, that she's like, you don't need to sterilize bottles. You don't need to carry a bag around. You can literally just pick up your baby and go wherever you're going, and you have everything that you need right there. I mean, like, along with nappies and maybe like a soother or, you know, clothes, yeah, whatever. But she's like, you just cut out so much of this kind of messing around with bottles and bottle caps and sterilization and Milton and all, yeah, this stuff.
By and breastfeeding. That's, I think, that is the joy of it. I've had in the yoga class, the pregnancy yoga class, they say, like, you know, to get the baby out of the hospital, you just need your boobs and a car seat. And that's kind of how I'm
sure you could get the baby out of the hospital without your boobs, to be fair.
Well, I mean, you know, you no, have I know to have what you some mean. Way I know to feed it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's it, you know. Kind of, so I'm
but the way you said that almost
that.
Sounded like you're going to use your boobs to pick the baby up. I know. Just, yeah, get the boobs, wrap them around the baby, pick the baby up.
In that special vice grip that you're taught when you're in there. But no, that's
the secrets, yeah, of motherhood.
Yeah, motherhood indeed. That's kind of the environmental side of, I suppose, having a child. But yeah, I do think, you know, if you really care about the environment, you know, that third or fourth child might not be your greatest decision.
But that's kind of the big if, isn't it? That, yeah, it's like, if you really care about the environment. So, like, if we really care about the environment, I've been thinking about all of the things that we do. And I mean, to preface everything, so, like, in this podcast, I want to talk about how to be sound, as in how to do shit better while fully acknowledging that I'm not there yet. So, you know, and I know you're the same, that, like, neither of us are sitting here going, we're doing everything perfectly and we're going to do everything great. Because, like, you might have a really awful baby, like, touch wood, but you might have a baby who, like, cries nonstop and who keeps you up. And you might decide, you know what, I'm just going to use the, like, shit for the environment nappies because I have enough to think of.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, what I mean?
You know, like, I haven't slept in 4 days. I can't deal with.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to figure, like, out what kind of cloth
baby's going to stay with my mom for 4 days, like, with me, and mom could change the nappies and I don't care.
Yeah.
So, like, who knows what's going to happen, and, like, nothing is a guarantee. But, like, I've been thinking about all of the ways that we could be better in terms of the environment. I'm like, you know, when you go to, so Scandinavia, we always talk about Scandinavian, the perfect countries. Yeah. When you go to Scandinavian countries and they have recycling bins on the streets, why don't we have them? Like, what's that about?
I'm not quite sure. I would think the reasoning is that you couldn't guarantee that they would be used correctly without spending a lot of money on, I suppose,
sorting, like a sorting facility.
Well, not even that, because I think that those bins probably do get sorted at some point along the way. I could be wrong, but I would think that if you were to put a recycling bin, you couldn't guarantee that everything going into that bin is going to be clean, rigid plastics, like, but we only want to recycle in Ireland.
But you can't, well, yeah, but you can't guarantee that anything going into our recycling bins at home is clean. You know what I mean?
No,
like, there are no guarantees that we're recycling correctly at home. And actually, I saw something yesterday that said that when you're recycling things, you shouldn't pack them all inside each other because they can't be sorted properly. And I was horrified because I always pack everything really, really tightly inside a paper bag. So do you sort all your recycling? I mean, I don't know if this is that interesting, but I'm genuinely interested to know, was I the only one packing all of my recycling inside paper bags, like, as tightly packed as I could possibly get them?
I know, yeah, filling cereal boxes full of stuff.
I
think that, so that's coming from the new recyclinglistireland.ie website, who have a very big social media campaign going on at the moment because the contamination of our recycling,
because we're recycling
wrong, costing, the waste providers a lot of money, and in turn it's making it more difficult for us to sell our waste on. So we sell our waste, we don't sell it, we sell it, I think, to India and China. We ship,
and China's not taking it anymore.
And China,
is that
as
the
of
new news?
As of the 1st of January, is not taking our plastic waste. They've banned receiving plastic wastes from countries like Ireland,
that are
we're the highest per person producer of plastic waste in the EU. We produce something like 67 kilos per person per year.
I would just like to point out,
kilos.
I would just like to point out, Kira has notes. These aren't like incredible facts and figures that she has in her head, because I'm like, I would genuinely, if I was listening to this and I was like, that girl really knows her shit, she's written it down, don't feel bad.
Well, thanks, Rosemary. Here I am trying to appear professional.
You're very professional.
We are part of an EU target to reduce our plastic waste by 75% by 2020. We're nowhere close to achieving that, I would think. That's 2 years from now.
Are we worse than the Americans for plastic waste, do you know?
I don't know, because the figures I have are Europe-based. I would imagine that we're not as bad as the Americans, but I would think that we're close to being there.
Yeah.
Because
it kind of feels like
we're moving that way, I think.
Yeah, well, like, all the shit stuff that we do is in, you know, the high sugar consumption or like obesity rates and like all these things. We're always the closest, both geographically and figuratively, to America, aren't we?
Yes, like, exactly.
We just want to be American.
We really are. Culturally, we can sometimes be closer to, what is it? Like, we're closer to New York than we are to wherever, Paris or something.
Britain.
Yeah.
Well, because we hate them.
So the thing
not
with, like,
me,
the,
in general.
The thing with the plastic waste is that, so the recycling list thing is starting to get people to think more about it, because we're going to start charging per kilo for recycling.
When we do the pay by weight, when everyone stops thinking about it, it's going to come in
soon enough. Once again, we're all going to be shocked and appalled by the cost of our waste. But I think that a lot of this lies with the source of the plastic. A lot of the blame for this. I mean, people have been putting, you know, you buy a bag of Rocket and you put the plastic that comes in into the recycling bin because you've been told that plastic is recyclable. But that plastic is not recyclable. And if you look closely, you may see the label on the back that says this is not currently recyclable.
Yeah.
But there's also the thing called the green dot, which a lot of us might see on the bag, the pack of like a chocolate or something that we buy. That it kind of looks like a recycling symbol. That doesn't mean that product, that wrapping is recyclable. But I think that we've been conned into thinking that. That just means that the people who make that recycling or the people who make that product contribute to waste.
Oh.
Yeah. So
and aren't there some as well, like, so some packaging will say that this is recyclable because technically it is recyclable, even if it's not currently recyclable in Ireland by our waste providers.
The greatest example of this and the most popular right now being your coffee cups. Your disposable coffee cups. Technically, they are recyclable. However, there is, as far as I know, no facility in Ireland that recycles them. And there's only two facilities in the whole of the UK that have the facility to strip the plastic out from the cardboard. So, yeah, like when it comes to, I suppose, the recycling list is great because I think it's hopefully getting to people the idea that it's only rigid plastics, it's only cans, it's only things that can be recycled. But if you buy a tray of mints in Lidl, as I did today, there's a plastic film on that's not recyclable. So you have to be conscious of making sure that you get that plastic clean and dry before you put it in the bin. And then you have to take the plastic film off. And like, not everyone maybe has the time to do that or knows to do that.
And then there is a very Irish skepticism about it. Like,
yeah,
I think a lot of people are like, I don't even know if that does get recycled.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Because there's so little transparency. And I don't mean transparency as in that we need to see what's going on, but there's very little talk of where does it actually go? Does it go to China? A lot of people don't know what happens. Is it recycled in Ireland? Is it recycled abroad? Are there human beings who separate it, or is it put into a big machine and sorted? I gather now from the don't pack things inside each other that it's put in a machine, but I honestly believed it was humans doing it.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of plants there are still humans doing some sorting, but maybe the initial sorting or the end sorting or the sorting that bales the stuff together. I suppose like humans are going to make mistakes as well. They're not infallible when it comes to the sorting or being able to touch everything and see everything that comes through your bins. The ideal situation is that supermarkets and food manufacturers cut down on plastic waste in general.
Yeah.
That they start packaging things in plastic. If they must package in plastic, that it's recyclable, and that we as consumers choose fewer things in our weekly shopping that are covered in a film of plastic.
Yeah. You know what else? We need to stop. I understand that this is for people who have lots of money and not enough time, but those people need to cop on and chop their own carrots. Like, we need to stop selling chopped carrots
and
trays.
Funny you should say that. And I saw a tweet yesterday, and I know that there's always a tweet from someone who has a different idea on, like, a kind of generally perceived, like, common sense idea that you have, which is, you know what, chop your own carrots.
Oh no, is this somebody who's like, I have a disability and I can't chop carrots?
Yes. I have a disability. Ready chopped veg is essential for me. And like I was like, yes, of course.
Yeah, of course. And that never occurs to you. Well, like, would never occur to somebody who is fully able. Do you know what I mean? Who has the use of all their limbs and for whom it's easy to cut carrots.
You're not going to please everyone.
But like, I wonder, do you remember in Superquinn they used to have a facility to slice your bread for you? You could bring them up the loaf and they would cut it for you. Maybe we need to get like vegetable slicers. Do you know what I mean? So that you can buy your carrots in the packaging they come in, have them sliced in the supermarket for free and put them in. Do you know what I mean?
Or that, you know, the ready sliced veg that you want to buy for time purposes or because of your own abilities in that area comes in something that's recyclable.
Yeah. Comes in something that's 17 layers of plastic. Did you see the thing in Marks & Spencer last week where they're selling a cauliflower steak?
Yeah.
For £2.50, and it was essentially a large chunk of cauliflower it would actually never occur to me to cut cauliflower into a large chunk and put like lemon and olive oil on it and fry it. And that actually would probably be kind of nice.
Yeah.
If you're like having one of those slightly grim days where you're like
eating a plant-based diet because you'll save loads of carbon dioxide from going into the environment. Like,
I was vegetarian. I ate a vegetarian diet. I wasn't a vegetarian, but I ate a vegetarian diet for 3 months last year because like for that reason. For a combination of reasons, the environment, and also I don't think there's any way to morally defend eating animals. Like, we can't do it. You just decide that you don't care enough. Do you know what I mean? You just decide that you prioritize whatever it is, your own health or your own tastes, and you're not going to care about the animals. And I decided that I did care about the animals and that I really wanted to be, essentially that I wanted to be a better person. You know what I mean? That I was like, I want to stop eating meat because it makes me feel a bit shitty about myself as a person. I want to be better and I want to stop eating animals. And 3 months in, I literally just was so bored. I'm not a particularly adventurous cook and I don't really like cooking. And I just was really bored of eating stir fries. But also, I was really bloated. So I think from eating like loads of beans and pulses and nuts that don't really agree with me that much, I get kind of IBS-y symptoms. And I do seem to do better on like a diet of lean meat and vegetables because it's very original. But I just felt like shit. And then I felt like shit. Like, my body felt like shit, and I also then was like, I'm a failed vegetarian. But now I
eat meat. But you can have days where you don't eat meat. And I think that's, I mean, this is where the how to be sound comes into it.
Yeah.
If you want.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Have to be full, like, you don't have to be fully perfect all of the time.
No,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you know, have a meat-free Monday. Have a, you know, kind of think about where the meat is coming from. And I said, like spoken by the person who admits to have bought to buying mince and little today. But, you know, buy your mince somewhere where you know that you're getting it wrapped in something that isn't purely gone straight to landfill, or, you know, buy your mince from maybe a farm locally produced. I mean, these are all like really aspirational things, and they're not something that everyone
they're also,
has to be able to do.
Yeah, they're also very middle class and very privileged and based, you know, if you can afford it. But essentially, isn't the whole idea eat as well as you can afford to eat? So in terms of eat as much organic as you can, eat as much free range chicken as you can, try not to eat battery chicken, eggs, like all that kind of stuff.
Like, there's still going to be a part of you that wants blueberries in December and they're going to come from Peru.
And they're delicious. But I mean, also, isn't it about like, you're not doing anybody any favours by like totally feeling guilty and awful about eating mango in October?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
But you know, maybe the next time, think about where the mango's coming from and don't have it maybe every single day in your smoothie, or don't, same, like, don't have your red meat like every second meal. You know, if you're going to have it once in a day, limit it to once in a day or limit it to 3 times a week.
You said that really like you were thinking about the mango's feelings. Like, next time you eat a mango, just think about the ordeal that mango has been through. Think about the journey that mango has been on.
Yeah, well, it's been on quite a journey.
It has been on quite a journey.
Quite the journey.
I'm amazed by how delicious mangoes are when they literally must be 2 weeks old by the time they get here.
Yeah. They.
Sorry, this isn't like a mango promo, but like, I do love a good mango. They're so
young.
A lot
of our fruit and vegetables, how they manage to be actually delicious when they've flown, you know, from halfway across the world.
Yeah. I don't understand it. Then you're like, they must freeze them, but then they're still delicious. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in 1 second. Meet Your Maker is a podcast about the people who make the things we love, hosted by Liam Geraghty. Season one is already out, so you have a little bit of time to catch up before season two is released imminently. Here's what to expect.
I used to write letters to, you know, say comedians like Janine Garofalo, and they'd write back really nice letters, like saying like, you're so mature for a 15-year-old. And in my head, I kind of be like, yeah, like I could be friends with Janine Garofalo.
All the heads of the studios that were there were all male. We brought that up and we were like, why is this? Is it like, is it something to do with like is it sexist?
Well, I always loved drawing, absolutely. I never kind of quit. When most kids kind of quit drawing at like maybe around 9 or 10 or whatever, I kept going, kept drawing all the way through.
You know, would you ever be interested in moving to New York? And I was like, 100%. A month goes by and I have an interview. Next thing I know, I'm moving out to New York from Michigan and I'm working at Marvel Comics.
I leapt up from the chair. My hair was dripping dye. And I said, I have to make a phone call.
Subscribe to Meet Your Maker now on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Okay, the last kind of environmentally themed thing. I want to talk about myths, right? So when I was growing up, I was a young girl and I actually read the instructions in the tampon box. I was under the impression that you could flush tampons, right? And yeah. Now I learn in my dotage that in fact you flush them and they get filtered out and put in landfill anyway. I always thought they ended up like biodegrading.
No. So yeah, I flushed my tampons for many years.
I still do sometimes if there's no bin.
Yes.
Confession so, time.
In Ireland specifically, we have problems where if we're kind of dealing with an outdated wastewater system. And we have this system whereby a lot of the waste in our water system, food waste that goes into your water system down the drain and tampons and other things that are flushed. If you have a situation where you don't have a wastewater treatment plant at the end of those pipes leading from your house, where a lot of places don't, they're just going straight into the water system. But also a lot of the time, if they get caught by all of the different filters, they can end up, if there's a heavy rainfall or a storm, the water can go over those filters because these tanks can only contain so much water. And you have a system whereby in Dublin, where when there's a storm, you have the waste going out into the sea. And up until I think it was the early 90s or late 80s, we used to dump our waste from our wastewater treatment at sea. So we would send trawlers out into the Irish Sea, miles and miles offshore, and dump everything that was flushed down the toilet. So people were flushing nappies, people are flushing their sanitary towels, people are flushing tampons, condoms, everything. And that's all.
There's a special place in hell for people who flush nappies.
There is, and it is so prevalent. It's more prevalent than you would think. But tampons are one of those things that ends up getting floated over kind of on the overspill on these tanks. And if you go, I went for a walk on Dolly Mount last year, I think, and I started noticing the plastic and noticing the waste.
Yeah. Well, there's so much waste on the beach.
And at one point, my husband leaned down to pick something up and I was like, Kev, that is a tampon applicator. Just so you know, before you pick that up with your bare hands.
Did he touch it?
No, he was appalled.
Oh my God, that is appalling.
And that actually got left. We walked away from that because at that stage we were like...
Maybe somebody should create an MTV spin-off. Instead of X on the Beach, it could be Waste on the Beach. And it could be we all have a sexy time going and picking up waste on the beach and talking about where it came from. This was in somebody's vagina.
It was.
I wonder whose vagina it was.
Yeah, and now it's on the beach, just lying there.
Just lying there, absolutely
along
revolting.
With all of the cotton bud sticks, along with everything. So
you know what though? You
can't flush your tampons, put them in a bin.
Yeah, wrap them up, put them in a bin. Can you put them in the compost?
No, I did a bit of research on that this morning because I knew you were going to ask me about tampons. And from what I can see, even if you're using an organic cotton tampon, there may still be certain fibres in it that wouldn't compost as quickly. Now, I don't know, I wouldn't be putting them into your home compost in your garden. You could possibly put them into the waste one that I was saying that they accept the nappies into a compostable bag.
Yeah.
But I would be doubtful that they would compost at the same level as food waste.
You know what? We don't actually do compost anymore. So we have Greyhound pick up our bins. And I think only last year they introduced compost. And they said, we're bringing around new bins. You can get a brown bin. And I think you had to request one. And we requested one. But essentially, it didn't get picked up for about 3 rounds in a row. And by about week 6, it was rancid. You know, you're that bin is full of food stuff and has not been picked up now for 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's composting.
Yeah. And I eventually said to them, you need to take it away because I don't want that in my back garden in a big brand. It's revolting.
Yeah, we have a lot. We have a long way to come, really, when it comes to waste. I mean, if there was a community garden nearby you, which I don't know that there is in this area.
No, but I don't know think that there is.
certain community gardens will take like your
garden
scraps.
Yeah, there are a few in Stony Better, aren't there? They'll take like vegetable peelings and stuff. Because I like that's part of my that I was really trying to be better. You know, I was like, I'm really happy now we get to compost. We put far fewer things in landfill.
It makes a huge difference.
And then I was so disappointed. And I mean, I might give it another go and apply to them again and go look like send us out another brown bin and let's give it another shot because we just do put so much stuff in the black bin bags in landfill and it makes me feel a bit sick. True, like there's so much stuff. Going to a dump somewhere. But speaking of tampons, I tried to get off the tampon train and use a moon cup.
Oh, this I was going to say, if you
alternatives to tampons,
do,
yeah,
if you can do, but
yeah, and I have to say, my experience of using the moon cup, as long as you're not squeamish and you don't hate the idea of getting your menstrual blood on your fingers, because you pretty much will get blood on your fingers every single time you change that menstrual cup. And I'm very sorry to our producer Liam for having this conversation right next to him, but if you're not squeamish about that, and it's not gross,
because it's
just normal, it's natural, whatever.
Yeah.
Moon cups, like, it was great. It was so handy. It was like the menstruation equivalent of breastfeeding, I think. You didn't need to bring anything with you. Mm. I wasn't tucking tampons up my sleeve anymore. I wasn't, like, running to the bathroom and going, oh, crap,
paying
I haven't
for
got
tampons
any tampons
anymore.
No, exactly. I wasn't paying for them. I wasn't wrapping them up and putting them in the bin. But then I had a terrible incident, which I've written about on my blog, and you can read it in all its full bloody glory. My moon cup sucked out.
I was
out
lucky to get the live action.
Yeah. Was I on the phone with you at the time?
No, you were texting me.
I think I was on the phone to Claire at the time. But my moon cup sucked out my coil. That's impressive suction though as well. I think my coil might have been on its way out anyway. It might have been like my body might have been rejecting.
So I don't think the small print is that they're not recommended if you have the copper coil.
Yeah, well, I didn't read the small print because I only read the small print on my menstruation things when I was younger and had little to be doing. And now I can be playing Candy Crush while I'm on the toilet so I don't need to read it.
Yeah, the moon cup, it's a flaw of the moon cup, and you know other products are available, other similar products are available to actual branded moon cups.
I wonder what the difference environmentally would be if you weighed up, say like I have the coil, right, that I get, I think I have the copper coil, so it lasts 10 years or something insane. Yeah. I wonder what the difference is environmentally between using tampons versus taking the pill. Do you know what I mean? Because so like I'm now using tampons, but I'm not taking the pill because I have the coil. So which is worse for the environment? Probably using tampons.
Oh, I don't know. Use the Marina coil and be one of the lucky people who uses that, like I was, doesn't get a period. So I'm speaking about tampons and moon cups and things, but I haven't had a period in quite a while.
I know, because
well,
now you're pregnant,
I
lucky
pregnant,
thing.
But now I'm
well,
pregnant.
I had the Mirena coil for a while, but because I suffer from depression and I'm on antidepressants, I didn't want to have anything. And I know, so the Mirena is the hormonal one and the copper coil has no hormones. It's just the copper does something weird to your womb, which is better not to think about. But I basically, because I take antidepressants and my moods are all over the place, I didn't want to be wondering, oh, is that the estrogen or the testosterone or whatever it is, the progesterone from the Mirena. So that's why I have the copper coil. So that's the only reason, but I found the Mirena coil great. And it did actually, my periods were practically like a little whisper. A candle in the wind. It was amazing.
It really is magical. Absolutely
it was so
magical.
Amazing. Okay, I could talk about the thrilling environment all day, but nobody would listen, I'd say. Before we go, and while I have you, I hope to have you back on again because I'm sure there are plenty of other things that I think you're smart on and that
Thank
you could
you.
come and take notes on and we could talk about. Is there anything that you want to get off your chest about the world, about culture, about anything that's going on at the moment that's driving you mad or that you're loving and that you feel like the world needs to know about? Or is there anything that you just wish would stop happening?
Yeah, I mean, I am finding, and this is like, I suppose another privileged position, but I'm finding the constant revealing of male actors that I have liked being sexual predators to be really upsetting.
It's very distressing, isn't
and,
it?
And like, I mean, I've kind of taken a break. I mean, because I'm in that privileged position where I can just, you know, zoom out of or tune out of news. I think Dustin Hoffman has properly been revealed
he's gone.
Yeah, and I really like Dustin Hoffman, and like
I
don't know what I was talking about yesterday, but I was like, God, I feel like I need to Google now everyone. And I think one of my favorite podcasts, Call Your Girlfriend, I think they now have this thing where essentially when they're talking about men that they like, you know, like actors or directors. Historically, they were talking about Jacques Cousteau in the latest episode, and while speaking, they were Googling to make sure that they weren't speaking about someone who has since been revealed to have been some kind of predator or to have assaulted someone or to be a rapist.
It's so grim. I feel like it's like we're playing a giant game of Guess Who, and then every time another one is revealed, you just flip down another face. You know what I mean? That it's like what are we now? Jared Leto, like Christian Bale, both of whom I adore.
Christian Bale.
Well, didn't Christian Bale like attack his mom and his sister? Didn't he have a restraining order against his mom and his sister at one point? God. Which, like, well, hopefully isn't a sexual assault case, but is still fairly grim.
Still assault, yeah.
Dustin Hoffman. Liam Neeson now not having that we know of assaulted anyone, but having come out and said, I think this is all going too far. And like when you're on a set.
Apologising essentially.
Yeah, man apologising. And he said something like, when you're on set, sometimes you do these childish things and it becomes kind of a childish game or a childish joke. And you're like, to whom? Like, to whom does this become a joke at which you actually might laugh? Because I highly doubt it's the woman whose arse is getting smacked every day as a childish daily joke on set. Like, get a grip. Yeah,
it's, you know, I'm not saying that I want it to end because I want them all named and shamed and like brought before the law or whatever is possible, you know, but it's I think,
I mean, I just want it to stop happening. Yeah, I know. Aziz Ansari now as well.
Aziz Ansari.
Oh, he looks so heartbroken. So there was a piece today on.
This is awful. I am leaving.
There was a piece today on Babe, I think. About a woman who went on a date with Aziz Ansari, and essentially, it was one of those very murky cases where she went home with him, and he basically kept trying to push her into things that she was making very clear through her body language and also through her words that she wasn't comfortable with, and kept saying, slow down, you know, I don't really want this, I'm not ready for this yet, you know, maybe on the next date kind of thing, and he taking out his dick and, you know, all sorts of. Just all sorts of shit.
Is it when men and taking out their dicks?
I've gone through my whole life. Things I'd like to see.
Without presenting my genitalia to anyone who didn't want to see it. And yet, here we are.
Oh my God. That's actually, can you actually imagine if you just spent a day as a woman going around with a skirt on and like every now and again just like showing your flaps to someone?
In an actual kind of gas story, a local paper in the town where I'm from published a story last week that I saw someone on Facebook sharing, and it was that there was a flasher. This isn't funny, obviously, like flashers are horrible people, and it's not okay. But
we're not making light of the flasher.
No, we're not making light of the flasher.
In local news,
we're making light of the local news that wants a beware flasher sign erected.
Erected is an interesting choice of words as well. Did they say erected, or are you just saying erected?
I actually don't think so. But yeah. And there was a bit of an editorial slant in the article that blamed the existence of flashers on heterosexual porn. It was a bit of a reach, I felt, but you know, you'd have to read it to really get the full.
I don't see a lot of flashers in heterosexual porn, I'd like to point out.
But so those are the things that are highlighting my week and lowlighting it. I can't believe Aziz Ansari.
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Aziz,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The thing that I would like to not have to talk about ever again is the Irish influencer scene and the current schganel.
Oh, yeah.
Scandal. Now, schganel, does schganel mean scandal or does that mean film? No, that's scan-on. So there's been just so much shit about like people setting up kind of call out accounts. You know, it's like, we're going to call out Irish influencers for doing X and doing Y and doing Z. And I just think that we all need to decide that we don't care about what these people are doing. Like, I have a blog and I kind of blog sporadically. And for a while I was an influencer insofar as I took money to promote things online. And I happily would again, like, get in touch. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm available. But the kind of whole scene of it and being like a lot of women who are essentially fashion and beauty influencers. And there is a whole like another question around why is nobody ever giving out about James Patrice and James Kavanagh? And I think there is a lot of misogyny involved in that people just love giving out about women who are doing well for themselves because they just think they've got notions and they're like, who does she think she is? But on the other hand, instead of doing all these call out accounts, why don't we just all stop following and thinking about people who are not interesting? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like not to be super nasty about it.
In, I think, you know, things like soap operas maybe into our interest in our phones, and these have somehow kind of manifested into this obsession with these people who we don't think of as real people.
No, and like that's something that kind of dawned on me last week, that I was very wrapped up in this scandal, like I have to admit, and I was like, what's going to happen next? And what are they? I'm like, oh my God, look, this is so gas, and look at this comment. And then I suddenly was thinking about, like, why do I even care? Like, I would not, and like, this isn't me throwing shade necessarily, but I wouldn't be friends with most of these women in real life, only because we have nothing in common. We don't like the same things. We don't share the same interests. We don't go to the same places. They like,
other things.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of that song. You know, the one, they're Xboxes and I'm more an Atari.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? We're just totally different.
Very Taylor Swift.
What?
Is that Taylor Swift?
No, it's not. It's that song, I see you driving around town with the girl I love.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm
oh,
like,
yeah.
fuck you.
There you go.
CeeLo Green?
Yes.
Oh, CeeLo, I know him well. That is very like, is it CeeLo Green? But yeah, we're just totally, totally different. And I was suddenly like, why am I even, like, I don't ever think to myself, oh, that's a great makeup tip. I don't ever think to myself, I must buy that top. I don't ever think to myself, that's an interesting perspective I hadn't thought of.
Yeah,
so why
yeah.
do I even care? And I'm trying not to. I'm
you're
trying.
Right, I think. I think that, you know, enjoy what these people do that you like. That, you know, if makeup tips are your bag, then go for it. But if you're
yeah,
just following
obviously.
For...
Yeah. And like,
not a hate, because hate following is a completely different thing, I think. I think we
yeah,
all hate follow.
Sometimes, and it yeah. can be kind of weirdly enjoyable. But like, there are loads of women who are really smart and interesting and talking about really smart and interesting things, and I follow them as well. So I'm like, why don't I just focus on them? And they're not doing anything scandalous.
Yeah.
Which is good. Although maybe that's what I want. Maybe I just like, I miss the drama. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe that's what I'm after.
Yeah, well, this is it. Because they're soap operas in their own way. They're
yeah.
our little
but I am just really sick of this kind of call-out culture, and I'm really sick of people acting like they're doing a public service by drawing attention to what these influencers are doing, when actually what they're just trying to do is drag them down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That they're literally just trying to bring them down a peg or two, and I'm fucking sick of it. It's boring.
Mm.
It is boring.
It is.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. You're
for being
an
with me.
Episode.
And for bringing cake.
Yes.
You have absolutely set the bar very high for the
I
next
have,
guest.
I have, yes.
Who will it be and what cakes will they bring? That is the big question. Thank you so much. How can people get in touch with you if they wish to do so?
Well, I'm private on Twitter. I might change that
you
if
are the
I get
worst
a few
podcast
follower
guest
requests.
Ever.
It's at Kira L. Norton, and I'm the same on Instagram.
At Kira L. for Louise Norton.
Yes,
Kira Louise Norton. You can get in touch with me at Rosemary McCabe with an A in my Mac across all social media platforms, or rosemarymccabe.com. You can email me info@rosemarymccabe.com. Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of How to Be Sound, produced by Liam Geraghty, who you'll also hear on Meet Your Maker, which is another great podcast. And you can listen to How to Be Sound everywhere you listen to podcasts. I prefer Pocket Casts. That's what I go for. Kira, how do you listen to podcasts?
On the iPhone app.
Oh, and then...
I put a whole lot of thought into it, I have to say.
And our other friend, Claire, uses Stitcher,
yes.
which I was surprised at. I just thought that was something I heard on other podcasts, but I never knew anybody actually used
it. It's a thing.
It's kind of like Airtel, but apparently it's not as very modern. Thank you so much for listening. How to Be Sound will be out every 2 weeks, so you can catch up again in 2 weeks' time. And, oh, you can also sign up to my newsletter. I'll tweet a link. Bye!
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.